the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Hey, we're back with another episode of the Golf Podcast. We have got a lot to talk about in this episode. First things first, we're going to be talking about how to get more distance out of your driver. But here's the most important part. We're going to talk about how to get that distance without sacrificing control. You know, we've talked about before, anybody can go out there and just swing like a madman. But the key is still hitting those fairways. So we're going to talk about a couple tips for that. In a minute, we're going to give away that our Ruckit hack golf net that we've been talking about, the contest we've been running the last couple of weeks. And we've got some big things to talk about on the PGA Tour too, with Tiger's return. So let's jump right into it, Mike. You know, today we're recording, it's Wednesday. So tomorrow is a Tiger's first real day back. I think a lot of people are kind of tired of talking about it, but at the same time, they're excited because we got our hopes up a couple times. He was coming back and then he withdrew and whatever it may be. But now we saw him on the range today. He's down there in the Bahamas for the Hero World Challenge. He's going to be teeing it up tomorrow. I mean, by the time this episode comes out, people will be knowing what happened, but let's do some for you and me anyway. What is your prediction and what do you hope will happen? And are those the same thing?
Yeah, they're definitely the same. I hope and I predict that he does play well and he just continues the confidence, you know, the same way you or I would do it. You know, if we took some time off, like you've taken some time off with your back and then you came back and then you started to play well again. And then now you can continue to play. So as a fan of his, he's who got me into the game growing up, you know, over the last decade or so of my life. It would be great to see him be competitive again and to kind of keep up with these guys. I don't think he's going to go up there and win. I mean, there's a lot of talent out there. There's a lot of young, more flexible talent out there on tour. You know, guys like Spieth and Fowler and those guys that are down in the Bahamas this week. So, hey, whatever. It's just going to be great to turn on the TV tomorrow, Frank, at noon and just watch him play.
No doubt. And I think that's what it all boils down to is that any way you slice it, it's great for the game. It's great for us fans, whether he does well or he doesn't, you know, just having him out there, just one more dynamic in an already really impressive, you know, field. We look at this, and like I said, every week to week, all last year, you were thinking about there was 10 guys that at any time could be number one in the world. You know, it just keeps bouncing back and forth. So having that much firepower and then adding arguably, you know, the greatest to play the game back into it, you just can't beat it. So I'm just happy. And, you know, I think everybody's been kind of hoping to see him play again. I think the last thing anybody wants to see, though, is him to continue to struggle.
Right, yeah.
You know, we don't want to see him kind of fade away in that regard. But I think he's always going to be good for the game. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be tuned in. And then we get a little break. No PGA Tour golf for a couple of weeks before it kicks back up in January. But it's an exciting one, without a doubt. I'll have the iPad running in the office tomorrow watching that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, speaking of the break, Frank, I wanted to ask you, did you actually buy any golf gear on Black Friday? Would you get any good deals on anything at all or no?
No, I sat Black Friday out because actually it was my birthday.
Black Friday. Happy birthday.
So I tried to stay away from the computer and I actually took advantage of unbelievably warm weather for this time of year. And I got out there and played 18 holes. So
that's cool.
Totally unexpected. I just kind of, you know, woke up that morning, saw it was like a little bit nice, a little rainy, but nice enough to play. You know, when I say nice enough, I hear in the Northeast, it was probably 48 degrees, but that's nice enough for us. So I called my father up. I'm like, let's get out there. Let's play. Got 18 in, played pretty well, you know, for not having played in a couple weeks. It's been too cold here, but one thing I really tried to do, this is kind of funny. We just talked in the last episode about flop shot, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I was working on out there. Maybe it was a subconscious thing or what it was. I don't know. But I ended up in more situations to play that shot than I normally do. Or maybe usually I try to find ways to avoid it, but I tried to play it. And, my struggle is again, like we talked about in that episode, you got to practice it. I came off hitting a couple too clean. You know, I ended up carrying it a little further than I want. Not a skull, didn't skull it, you know, nothing like that. Didn't blade it, hit it nice and clean. It's just, I got to get used to my feel of that distance.
Sure.
I'm going to hit that shot often. So, you know, I just try to run through those five steps in my head. And I find I do that more and more when I'm out there, just try to remind myself of these different shots we talk about here on the show. And like, let me just go through it methodically and try to remind myself before I take the shot and work that into my pre-shot routine. And I felt like I executed them well. It's just, again, it's that feel. It's like how much of a swing, how quick of a release in order to judge different distances. Because think about it, in the scale of a flop shot, maybe you want to carry it 10 yards. Even just 5 more yards can be way too much. It can be the completely other side of the green. So that's what I'm talking about. But overall, I was happy. I struck the ball well. I'm happy to end on that note, you know, because I doubt I'll be getting out there again until probably, I don't know, what, March?
Probably. I mean, how was the course? Was the ground firm, too hard?
It wasn't bad. We've been getting some wet weather here. It was actually a little bit soft, a little bit wet. But, you know, finally the leaves were blown off. You could find the ball. Mm-hmm. If nothing else, it's tough sometimes playing in those chilly conditions. But it was a lot of fun. It was just nice to, you know, nice little birthday treat to get
bonus
out there
golf
and be able to play. Absolutely. I know you've been itching because you got that new Arcos. Have you gotten out there and play with it yet?
I have not, unfortunately. It's just time won't let me get out there with everything going on. But, you know, it's going to be like 53 tomorrow. So I'm going to try to maybe sneak out to either the executive par 3 course for 9 holes with it, or just try to get on and play like 3 holes near the office. I want to get that thing up and going. I want to see what it's all about before I got to put the clubs away for the winter, because I'm too excited. You know, I got to play with it.
Yeah, I love it, and I'm going to tell you what, I think an early prediction, that's going to be probably the number one most talked about holiday gift, golf gift this season, because we see everyone talking about it. You know, it's been coming up a lot in the Facebook group, the Golf Podcast Facebook group. A lot of guys are like on the fence, tried it out. I keep encouraging people because it's only done great things for my game, and I love how hands-off it is, but report back. Let us know what it's like when you actually get a chance to try it.
Yeah, and you and I, we're going to start incorporating that into the show in the new year, you know, kind of talking about our stats. I think it's really important that we do that.
Absolutely, because like we say, in order to have the smart practice we talk about here, you got to know where you're at. You got to establish that baseline. And I find the easiest way is to really have your stats. The problem that I've always run into is I really, really like to focus on my game. I don't want to be having to record too much. So up until this point where these new devices, and there's other ones out there too, there's ShotScope, I think there's Game In Glove. I just can't talk about them too in depth because of the fact that I haven't personally used them. Arcos just happens to be the one that I picked because I like the stats. But I didn't want to have to be jotting them down and constantly kind of mentally coming out of my game. So with these devices now, it's so easy. It's hands off. I just play. I focus on my game and I can review the stats later. I can look at where do I need help. So that really helps me focus and have that concentrated practice. Speaking of which, off-season stuff, Mike, I forgot to mention this to you. Richard Todd, he's a fan of the show. He's a really great author of the Golf Rules. He had sent me a message on, he emailed me the other day, and he talked about, and I don't have it in front of me, so I don't want to quote it exactly, but he had talked about a trainer who has some stuff online who really helped him, and just talking about doing 1,000 swings a month. And this particular trainer, she uses the Orange Whip. I'm going to try it because it's something you can do indoors. I already have it. And 1,000 swings a month is actually not that hard to get to if you think about it, because you can just break it down to, I don't know what it is, in 40, 50 swings a day that you can just put in. You can do it pretty simply. But he was talking about how much it helped him. And I want to see if I can do the same. So I'm going to try to stay loose and just kind of use that swing in my basement a little bit this season, see how that goes.
Actually, you can definitely, I mean, at your work, I mean, you have the perfect place for that. I mean, it's only 40 swings a day. It's not bad. Not a bad little lunch break,
right?
Go
out and do my little, coffee break, taking a couple swings. And actually, the funny thing is, remember, we talked to the guy who invented the Orange Whip. I think his name was Jim Hackenberg. We had talked about him on, talked with him on the show. He was our guest a while back, and he's mentioned the same thing, just being able to keep swinging through the winter. And he had said, if someone was to dedicate the time to it over the winter months, he almost guaranteed that not only they come out like without losing a step in the spring, but he had predicted that they could lose, you know, 1 to 3 strokes, you know, off their handicap just by doing that. So I'm interested to test it out. I'm going to try it, at least if nothing else, to stay limber.
Yeah, I love these things. And now this new one with the swing shirt. Did you see this thing?
Wait, I'm trying to remember which is that. I'm like playing over an infomercial in my head right now.
It's on TV right
where
now.
You put your arms through, like it keeps them really tight, right?
One sleeve. Yeah, you put your arms through and it forces that one swing. So it's like a $69, you know, little garment thing, but it looks like it's going to be a popular gift idea too.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to put together on the site our gift guide again this year because there's a lot of great stuff you can put on your wish list.
Absolutely.
All right. So before we dive into tonight's topic, let's go ahead and pick our winner for the Hack Golf Net, which again, we want to thank the guys at Ruckett Golf for sponsoring this particular giveaway and donating this net. Remember, very easy to enter. All you have to do is just join our free Golf Podcast Facebook group. If you're on Facebook, just search The Golf Podcast under groups. It'll come up. As soon as you join the group, you're automatically entered to win. Sometimes we do a little extra bonus stuff like we did the other day with Black Friday where you could get a couple extra entries. But here's the cool thing. If you're already in the group, your name stays in the hat. The hat just keeps growing, Mike.
That's right.
We're moving away from a hat and into like one of those big fish tanks now.
Yeah.
But what's really cool is even if you won in the past, whatever it may be, your name keeps going back in there. It's very simple. It's just like at the at your local golf tournament when they have dinner afterwards and they pick out of the hat. We're keeping it super simple. If you're in the group, you're automatically entered to win. So make sure you join the group if you haven't already because we're going to be running these contests regularly and all you got to do to enter is be in the group. So that said, Mike, let's shake that thing up and see who gets the win.
All right, Frank, let me do this. Okay, let's see. Who do we got here? Bill Chan from Nevada.
Cool.
Awesome.
Congrats, Bill.
Congrats, Bill.
So we will we'll reach out to you and then we'll get your address and everything so that the guys over at Ruckett could send you your net and put it to good use. Well, I can't say an off season, Nevada, right? He's playing year round.
He's playing golf year round.
All right. Jealous. So it'll be your backyard setup. You can get yourself all set up nice. So again, congrats and thank you everybody who's joining the group. It's making for like a very cool place to kind of hang out, distract myself from work every once in a while, checking out people's setup. A lot of people posting pictures talking about different courses they've played, things like that. I love it. Speaking of which, one really cool thing I saw the other day, Tim Rounds, I believe he's a listener of the show, but he had shared with us on the Golficity Facebook page. We had talked a couple weeks ago about sharing your simulator setup, and his is one of the coolest ones I've seen so far, Mike. He's got his own little room set up. He's got the big screen projector, OptiShot. He even went so far to make it real authentic. He put the wallpaper on the wall that looks like trees, so it looks like he's outdoor.
He's got
the mini fridge in there. Man, I could live in there.
It's amazing. He did an awesome job with it.
I love it. So if you've taken our advice and set yourself up with a nice little simulator for the winter or home driving range like we talked about with the nets, share it with us. You know, shoot a quick video or take a couple of pictures and put them in the Facebook group because we'd love to see that. So let's do a quick word from our sponsor this week, Mike, and then we're going to jump into some tips on how you can get some more distance out of your driver without sacrificing the control.
There's one name that should be at the top of every guy's wish list this holiday season, and that's Tommy John, the 21st century men's underwear brand that has redefined comfort. We love the team at Tommy John because they're always thinking of new ways to help us guys feel more comfortable, like innovative socks specially engineered to stay up all day and so much more. Look, if you're still on the fence wondering if all this stuff is really worth it, trust me, it is. I wear it myself almost every day.
Yeah, Mike. And like we said before, as much as we love them, you don't have to just take our word for it because Tommy John underwear is backed by their best pair you'll ever wear or it's free. guarantee. And speaking of making that Christmas list, I've already dropped a few not so subtle hints to pick me up a pair of my personal favorite, the Tommy John Second Skin Boxer Brief. If you haven't tried them, they're awesome. Whether it's on the golf course, the office, I just don't want to take them off. So whether you're shopping for yourself or anyone else who needs a little more comfort in their lives, make sure you hurry because Tommy John's exclusive discounted holiday gift bundles are only available for a limited time. So remember to go to TommyJohn.com/TGP to get your 20% off listener discount for your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/TGP for 20% off right now. Remember, TommyJohn.com/TGP. All right. So talking about distance, here's at some point, everybody's going to kind of cross over this little bridge here, you know, where you feel like you work on your basics. Like we've talked about this, you know, we're 145 episodes in, Mike. And I feel like in every episode here or there, we've mentioned a little bit more about the importance of control over distance, the importance of hitting those fairways, you know, 50% of the time rather than 5% of the time, you know, and giving up a little bit of distance. So we talked about before how to work that control in, and you know, you get to that point where something's got to give and often you sacrifice a little bit of distance for it. But what's going to happen is ultimately you're going to start to get in that rhythm. You start to feel better. You start to feel like you're more accurate. You're hitting the fairway more regularly and your game is really improved because of it. And then you start to get that itch again where you're saying, all right, I feel very comfortable now. How do I start to dial it up and get that distance into my game or get that distance back to make me really competitive without going, you know, one step forward, two steps back and losing my control? I'm at that point, you know, at least I've been at that point through this season, kind of looking for it. And I've just been hesitant to just mix anything up because I feel finally really comfortable off the tee with the driver. And it's just like, all right, but you get that itch, you know, especially when I play with somebody like you, Mike, who this season, you're 150 yards out on a par five the other, you know, when we played at Ballyowen, and I'm like, man, I got to squeeze a little more distance out of my drive so I can keep up with this guy. So, right. You get to that point, you know, but where do you go with it? What do you do? Like we want to hit the ball long, but we also want to hit it straight. And I feel like the second you start to squeeze a little more distance out and you drift one off into the woods, you just say, forget it. You know, I'm just not going to do it. But there are ways. And if you really want to step that game up and each, just like we talk about here, each season getting a little better, lowering that handicap a little bit more, there comes a point where you want to get a little more distance because it is going to set up things like shorter irons into greens, helping to hit more greens in regulation, be closer to pins and those types of things. So, Mike, where do you feel you're at with your game? I mean, distance has never really been a problem.
Yeah, I know.
For you.
This is why I wish tonight, instead of how to get more distance without sacrificing control, I wish it was how to get more control without sacrificing distance.
Yep.
You know, I mean, because that's my biggest, I mean, it's a good problem to have. And sometimes it comes back to bite me. Sometimes I have too much distance. Sometimes I'm stronger than I think on, you know, some shots where, you know, I'm hitting shots way too pure, you know, but normally, Frank, the distance problem, you know, it's not really there. I never say I wish I can get more than 240 out of my three hybrid. I mean, to me, that's like amazing. You know, that's like, that's a boom for me. I mean, that's my go-to club that I hit that consistent at that level. Control is more of an issue for me. So that's kind of where I'm at.
What's interesting too with your game, I notice, is that your driver is either there or it's not, in so much as I notice that when it's not, you're at least smart enough to play and just put it away. You put it away and you play the smarter shot off the tee.
Right, I know.
But here's where you know, I've also seen though before when we used to get to play more regularly together, I would see when you start to develop that rhythm where you're calling it that like baby swing or that really slow swing, and it was just like working that control. So it's more so like sticking with that. Once you get to that point, you're sticking with it and you're getting that control, but ultimately it just feels so much slower and you feel like you've got more gas in the tank, so to speak, and you want to use it without going the other way and losing the control. So what we're going to talk about tonight is nothing outrageous, nothing drastic. Because remember, we don't want to really upset the apple cart. We don't want to make a drastic move here. You know, you've worked so hard to get that control. You've listened to all these episodes and everything we've talked about and how to hit more fairways. And now you want to stick with that, but you just want to get a little bit more out of it. So let's just go through it methodically. There's a couple things. There's some stuff that has to do with equipment, and there's some stuff that can be done with setup and shot shape. So the very first thing is just to take a quick look at your gear before you change anything with your setup, with your swing, with your pre-shot routine, with your aiming points, your targeting, anything like that. Just take a quick look at your gear, because very often we find that people are, for instance, one of the most common things is just playing the wrong golf ball. And it may sound funny, but we talked about this before. Compression is a big factor, and compression on the golf ball has a lot to do with, and matching your compression has a lot to do with your swing speed. So you could be playing a ball that has too much compression, and actually it may seem like a distance ball. It may have distance ball written on the outside of, you know, the package. But if you don't have the swing speed to properly compress that ball, it's not going to go as far, which is what I found was so amazing to me, was when I started playing a softer ball. I like playing the Callaway, you know, the Chrome Soft. I was getting more distance out of it. Never thought that. You know, I was thinking 100 yards and in. That's where all I was thinking about. I wanted a feel ball. I wanted something I can control more with the wedges. I wanted something that had a better feel on the putting surface. But all of a sudden, I'm like, how am I getting more distance? Then I realized it more accurately matched my swing speed than, let's say, like a Pro V1. You know, right. As crazy as sounds, Mike, nowadays I find a Pro V1 in the woods. You know, I throw it in the bag. I don't immediately just start playing it, because even though it's cost four times more than the golf ball I'm playing, it just doesn't seem to work for me. You know, you realize, why should I be playing with the golf ball that guys on the PGA Tour with a swing speed that's 20% greater than mine are playing? It just doesn't always make sense. So sometimes you just want to go back and do it. And we've talked about this before on the podcast. We've got a great article about it on Golficity on how to choose the right golf ball for your game. But it really does make a difference. And that's a tweak you can make without changing anything else.
Right. And, you know, I could take it all the way through the bag, because another example, actually, I was playing with my father, I think, 2 weeks ago, and he's had this old Ram driver in his bag for all these years, because he doesn't really play that often.
Right.
And I said, here, take my driver and just use it, because he has a straight swing. It just doesn't go far. It's just right down the middle, you know, maybe 200 yards at most. But, you know, I gave him mine, and he hit it about like 30 or 40 yards past his normal drive, and he was consistent with it. And I said, you got old clubs. So think about all of us out there who have these old clubs. Remember those clubs you were playing with for a while before you upgraded?
Yep.
Before, when you were just getting back into the game. So it is a great idea to go through your bag and say, like, you know, is this gear really the right gear for, you know, getting this distance? Absolutely.
Because look, when it comes down to it, the best way to ensure that you can keep that control we talked about while still gaining distance is to not change your swing at all. You know, everything else we're going to talk about, minor tweaks to your swing. But if you can just change your equipment a little bit, you're not having to change your swing. It's really interesting. Quick sidetrack, Mike, going back to Tiger Woods. What do you think? He's playing your golf ball.
He's got the Bridgestone. Yeah. That's my ball.
I didn't see that coming.
I didn't see that coming at all. Bridgestone
has upped their game dramatically.
Big time. Absolutely.
You know, the offerings that they've been coming out with the, you know, their balls, I would say, you know, if I'm not playing my Callaway, that's what I'm playing. And I know you love them. You've been playing for the seasons, but interesting to see, you know, Tiger. You get Tiger and Rory, right? Right now with Nike going out, they have their pick. It's not just like they've already got all the money they can possibly do anything with.
Right.
So it's more so, you know, these guys are going to pick what they feel is good for their game. Throwing another $10 million at Tiger is not going to change anything for that guy. So it's just like, you realize they're playing with what they want to play with. So, you know, I think it's a really cool step in the right direction for them. And when I saw that, I'm like, I thought of you immediately. I'm like, that's Mike's ball, you know?
Yeah, I know. I saw that. That was actually pretty cool to see him with that and with the TaylorMades. He's just got like a whole, you know, array of different clubs now. It's odd to see, but, you know, it's a new Tiger.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah. All right. So another thing you can do that doesn't have to be necessarily a dramatic change is just change your, at least on your driver, change your shot shape a little bit and just try to work a little bit more of a draw in.
Generally, that sounds so easy.
Yeah, right? Right. Well, here's the thing. This is the key to this. Do this only if you can do so comfortably. And, you know, in the show notes, you can get to that by going to golficity.com/episode145. We'll link to this article, which has a great video, really simplifying it. I love the guys over at Me and My Golf. I watch that YouTube channel all the time because they have a really great, simple way of showing things. And they talk about how to work a draw. If you find this to be too complex, I'm big advocate of not getting too far away from your natural shot shape. So if your natural shot shape is a fade and this is kind of messing you up, that it's working it towards a draw is messing you up, that it's going against what all we're trying to preach here, which is keeping that control. But if you can do it, the benefit of a draw is that it's, generally speaking, it's going to travel further than a fade because of the fact of the way the travel, the trajectory and the roll. A draw is going to roll out more than a fade is going to. Now, is it the worst thing in the world if you play a fade? Absolutely not. The guy with the biggest drive on the PGA Tour plays a fade every time. You know, Bubba Watson, right? He plays that huge, big fade. So it can be done. It's really just what your comfort, you know, what level of comfort you have with it. But if you can get a draw worked into your game, I think it's a great thing to learn. Regardless, it can help you control the ball in windy conditions. You can really take advantage of those firm fairways. If you see if you're playing on a day where it's really dry, firm fairways, if you can just start to play a draw, you're going to notice you're rolling out 20, 30 more yards. I mean, that can make a huge difference. So there's a lot of benefit to it. Again, you just got to weigh the balances. And it's not something that, just like everything we talk about here, it's not something that I advocate going out there and trying for the first time during a round of golf. You know, this is something, work on it on the range. We won't go through step by step on playing a draw because we've talked about it before, and I'm sure we'll talk about it again in depth. And like I said, we have the videos and stuff like this that I'll link to. But go through it step by step. Work it out on the driving range. If it's something you feel comfortable with, bring it out there on the course. You know, and I know personally when I have a little bit more of a draw natural shot shape, but when I have it working for me, I definitely get more distance off the tee.
Yeah, definitely. And this is going to be my number one goal in the off season. We're going to talk about our goals in an upcoming episode for the new year. This is going to be it. Number one is going to be getting rid of the inside out cut fade slice that I always talk about, and really start getting the draw. And I know I'm not going to sacrifice too much distance. I may be swinging a little lighter, but I think that draw, like you just said, because it's coming in on that draw trajectory, I think I'm going to be able to get that distance back that I'd be losing with that Superman swing that I was hitting the fade with.
Yes, exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. So moving on to the next one, a big important tip here can be something as simple as just working on improving your tempo. Now, we did a whole episode on tempo, but let's talk about it a little bit more here. The reason it is, and this is where everyone's had that feeling where you feel like you swung like very slow and the ball traveled much further than expected. Mm-hmm. The reason being is that it's not necessarily that you're swinging slower. Okay. Remember, speed only matters. Speed in the golf swing only matters at one point, and that's the point of contact. And this is why you see the pros, it looks a lot of times like their swing speed is slower, because they maximize that output by just applying the most swing speed at that point of impact. So the when you get your tempo and rhythm down, the whole thing looks so controlled. That's what gives it that feel and that look of being slower than it actually is. But here's the reason why, quote unquote, slowing things down, which may not actually be slower, but just more rhythmic and a better, more controlled tempo. The reason why you can get more distance out of that is because you're going to hit that sweet spot on a more consistent basis. Now, remember, there's a ton of engineering that goes into these clubs, and a lot of it has to do with putting that the center of gravity and the point where the most force is going to be applied to the ball in that sweet spot. So missing outside that sweet spot is going to create a dramatic loss in distance. And I think, Mike, the best way to kind of get a feel for this and visualize this is with your putter, right? Pull out your putter for a second, put the ball, hit it on the sweet spot. Now hit it off the toe or the heel. This is what we've talked about before, deadening the ball. It's amazing how much less travel the ball gets by not hitting in the sweet spot. Now amplify that times like 10 with your driver. So this is something that can be dramatic difference, and without changing much, it's just hitting in that sweet spot. So how do we do this? How do we work on that tempo? Well, a great thing you can do, again, do this at the range, not on the course, but go out there and try hitting some half shots with your driver, right? It's not something you would normally think to do. Sure, we take half swings with our wedges, you know, for in between yardages and things like that, but we would never take a half swing with our driver. It's meant to be a practice thing. We want you to work on and feel hitting that sweet spot. And it's a lot easier to control the driver and hit the sweet spot with a little half swing. So start taking half swings as you're getting used to the feel of contacting that sweet spot. As you start to feel like you're getting used to that, gradually start to dial it up to a full swing, but try to maintain that same tempo. Because the other thing, it's very hard to have like a rushed, fast tempo or rhythm with a half swing. Right. So you get a nice rhythm flowing, feeling it, hitting that sweet spot, and then just work its way up. But keep the rhythm, the tempo the same, but just put a full swing on it. And I think what you'll find is you're blasting the ball a lot further than you thought you would, and you're not having to hit the gym, so to speak.
Yeah, this is something I plan on doing in the simulator this winter, because I think that's the best place to practice this, because you're not limited to that bucket of 40 golf balls. I mean, you can rent out the cage for an hour. Yep. You don't have to play around a golf on a course. Just go there to practice, sit on the virtual range and just hit these balls and practice these shots. For those of you who are in the cold weather, more importantly, then that's what I plan on doing, because this is something that I definitely need to work on. I love the idea of these half kind of driver swings just to get that tempo down. I mean, that's exactly what I need to do for sure. That's right. What I'm going to be working on.
And this is where when we see those people who have those really scattered drives where it's like sometimes they drive it big and sometimes they don't. And I think what it is just that their ability to hit that sweet spot. I saw something not too long ago comparing the face of a driver through the different handicaps. So you had like 20 plus handicap, and then you had 15, 10, 5, and a scratch golfer. And they showed the scatter pattern on where the ball was being contacted on the face. And as you went up in the handicaps, it started to just kind of spill out all over the driver face. And that's where the inconsistency is. But what we noticed with the better golfers is that it became almost like just one spot where they were hitting it every single time in the same spot on the club. That's the difference. That's where you see, you know, professionals hitting it the same distance all the time, you know, versus us, where sometimes we drive it 220 and sometimes we drive it 275.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what makes that difference. And it always reminds me that one time, Mike, where we were playing together and you drove that green on the par 4.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and we couldn't see the green. So it surprised the guys on the green. It surprised us. But you were just like, couldn't imagine, because you felt like you swung so slow and so in control, but you just hit that sweet spot perfect by being so in control. So it does make a dramatic difference.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's pretty interesting, that whole scatter plot. I've never seen that. I have to look for that.
It makes for a really good case for training with impact tape.
Yeah, sure.
Which we talked about before, which is one of the cheapest training aids out there. You can go on Amazon and get a roll of impact tape for like $5. Yeah. You know, and then just put that on there and then just work on, you know, great thing to do in your practice sessions. Like I said, focus practice. One focus practice can be just like working on hitting the sweet spot. Start with these half swings and work your way up and try to keep that scatter as close to the center and that center of gravity as you can. And you'll be surprised how much more distance you can gain over that versus just trying to swing a little bit harder.
Yeah, that is a great drill.
You know, swinging harder and missing the sweet spot by that much more does nothing for you. Net gain. You have nothing there.
Exactly. Right.
Except maybe drive it a little further into the woods.
Yeah. Right.
All right. So another thing you can do to change your setup, and again, we're not talking about anything drastic here. Again, nothing so far has been anything dramatic. But one thing you can do is start to widen your stance a little bit. And Mike, in the article on Golfissi, we actually embedded a picture of you.
Yeah, good looking guy right there.
Because, you know, when you're swinging that driver really well, it shows you've got a nice wide base, you know, a nice wide stance. And here's the thing. As you do start to dial it up, and you start to swing a little bit faster and a little bit harder, one of the biggest things that you can lose is your balance. And we did a whole episode just a couple weeks ago on balance and why it's so important. As you start to lose balance, everything kind of falls apart. So in order to keep balance, especially with so much going on, there's so much force applied to a driver swing. The greatest way to kind of stabilize that is just to widen your stance a little bit. Now, again, it's a little bit. I can't stress this too much. You start to get too wide and you're going to be, you know, a little bit of a mess. You're not going to be able to turn. Right. So you want to just widen a little bit. And this is not a change you want to make on the fly, because it is a change to your setup. If there's any change here that's a little bit more dramatic, it would be this one. I'm still trying to keep it as simplified as possible. But you just want to test out that new stance on the range, just like everything else we talked about. Just test it a little bit. And you want to just make sure that that wider stance doesn't affect your ball flight in a negative way. Again, all you're doing this wider stance for is to create a better, more stable, more balanced base. So you may have to make some small adjustments. Again, we don't want to change too much because we don't want to lose that control we've worked so hard on. But maybe just stepping it out a little bit further, see how it feels, see if you feel a little bit more comfortable, and it can be a big help.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know I'm standing like that until I see the photos of it. I don't know that I'm standing, you know, that far apart. I know that I'm standing far back from the ball because people have told me millions of times, get closer to the ball, including the coach I just had the lesson from, but I never knew I stood that wide. Right. So it's interesting to see that. And this is the one time this year out of 36 rounds, the one photo you got of me here wearing shorts, because you know me, I never wear shorts on the course.
That's right.
So this is a unique photo right here. I like it.
That is a very unique photo. But hey, keep with it because it works for you. You know? And, right. And with your swing speed, you really do need that wide stance or you're gonna be in trouble. Mm-hmm. You're going to be falling, you know, spinning out of control without that. Right. So it's important. But look, just wrapping it up, hitting long straight drives is absolutely a dream of most amateur players. And you know, with plenty of power off the tee, if you can have that control to go with it, that goal that we all have of shooting lower scores, it's well within reach. But remember, it's not going to be easy to get to that point if you're swinging out of your shoes and losing that control. So if you start to see yourself sacrificing the control that you've worked so hard for, dial it back. We want to just change these small little things. We want to practice them on the range before we go anywhere else, you know, with them on the course. And just by making those little changes, you will see improvement. But like I said, first thing, start with that low-hanging fruit. Check your gear. See if there's little improvements you can make there. Make sure you're playing the right golf ball. Make sure you have a compression that matches your swing speed. Swing speed nowadays, it's not as hard to figure out as it used to be. There's swing speed monitors, you know, you can buy on Amazon, everywhere else, that are not, they're relatively inexpensive. Or if you get a chance to play in any simulator, that'll give you your swing speed numbers. If you take a lesson and if they're using any type of that type of technology that's there, same thing with those wearables that they have now, like the swing tip, and there's a few other Bluetooth controlled wearables that'll tell you your swing speed. And then once you get that information, use that when you go out and shop for golf balls and match it up, you know, learn to play that draw, whether you use it or not. It's something that every golfer should try to work into their bag, like work on that tempo like we talked about and take that little wider stance, and you'll really be surprised how much that's going to help. All right. So that is everything. If you find that these helped you, or if you've improved your game at all, if you've tried these, let us know about them. Like I said, we want to hear from you guys. We want this to be a two-way conversation. So post them in the Facebook group. We love to hear it. You know, maybe even share some pictures of your swing or your stance or whatever it may be, because we want to hear it. Before we wrap things up, I also want to thank again Tommy John for sponsoring today's episode. From their unbelievable wedgie-proof design to their time-saving horizontal quick draw fly, Tommy John is truly evolved underwear. And right now, you can give the gift of mind-blowing comfort to yourself or someone else with an exclusive discounted holiday gift bundle from Tommy John. So just go to TommyJohn.com/TGP to save 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/TGP for 20% off right now. All right, Mike, let's see how Tiger does this week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. All right, that's everything we have. We'll see everybody again next week.